Okay, guys, we're going to continue our study. We're in the book of Isaiah, and we're up to Isaiah chapter 38. So if you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 38. Now, this is one of those places where things look rather grim, but things are going to change, and it's all because of a prayer that the Lord answered. And what I hope we end up seeing in this is that the Lord is ready to save. So let's dive in and take a closer look at this. We're in Isaiah chapter 38, and that's the title of the message today too. The Lord is ready to save. So Isaiah 38 verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Wow. This event happened before the Lord delivered Jerusalem from the Assyrian invasion. We've been talking about that invasion for a while here in Isaiah. And this is before that event. We know this because of verse 6. If you look at that, it says in the same chapter, Isaiah 38, verse 6, "I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." So we know this is before that event. Now, King Hezekiah had become sick. And we're not told much about his sickness other than it had to do with a boil that he had, and we'll see that later on. So this must have been a very difficult time for him, because now the Lord sends Isaiah, the prophet here, to King Isaiah to let him know that he was going to die soon. It's amazing that the Lord let him know that he was getting ready to die, because most people don't get to know when their life's going to end. And for those who may be curious, we can estimate Hezekiah's age at the time when this happened from what we see in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 20. We won't look at those now, but when you check those passages out, he would have been 39 years old when he was given this news of his approaching death by Isaiah the prophet, just to kind of give you a picture of his age there. Verse 2, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall," after he received this message, "and prayed to the Lord." Now, it's interesting that we're told that Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. He apparently was so sick at that point that he couldn't even turn his body, toward the wall to get more privacy for his prayer. So he must have been only able to turn his face. But he did the best that he could to get some privacy, so he turned his face away. You know, there are times that we pray publicly, and we can pray together on things, and openly. But sometimes we have such a personal prayer that we need some privacy. And I believe this was one of those sensitive times when Hezekiah needed his privacy. Verse 3 goes on, and this is his prayer. He said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He had tried to live honorably before the Lord, and that's what his prayer was based on, his life before the Lord. This was actually a commendable thing to do, because David gave a good description of what a God-honoring life would look like under the old covenant. So if you look at Psalm 15 and verse 1 and 2, it tells us here what David says a good life, a God-honoring life, should look like. Psalm 15, verse 1, says, "A psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, and who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart." And that's basically what we saw Hezekiah praying there when he spoke to the Lord. Now, thankfully, when we pray as New Testament believers, we don't have to pray based on our own life's accomplishment. We might be in trouble. Speak for myself. We can now pray in the name of Jesus. And if you think about it, it's only because of the work that Jesus did on the cross that we can even come before the God of heaven. In Hebrews 4:16, we're told that since Jesus paid for our sins, now we're able to come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We praise the Lord for that promise. So Hezekiah was praying and asking God to show him grace when he made his request, but he was asking based only on his own righteous living because Christ had not yet come and died on the cross. And hopefully, this should help us to really appreciate our relationship with the Lord being based on the righteousness of Christ and not on our own righteousness, because the Lord says that the best we can do on our own is to muster up some righteousness that is as nasty as filthy rags. So we don't want to rely on that. We want to rely on the righteousness of Christ. Now, some folks would have denied that what the prophet said was from the Lord. I mean, someone comes and tells you, God says you're going to die here. But this reaction we see by Hezekiah shows his faith. We see that Hezekiah truly believed what the prophet had told him because he wept bitterly. But the thought hit me, you know, when we think about Hezekiah being able to present his testimony of his obedient life before the Lord in prayer, how much could we say that we've been living for the Lord? I mean, at this point in our life, if we had to give an answer to the Lord right now, what would we be able to give for our testimony? You know, if you or I are not pleased with our answer to those thoughts, then we may still have a chance to make some good changes in our life while we still have some time. We should definitely decide to live closer to the Lord while we have time left. And even though we don't know how much time we have, if your life was going to end tomorrow, do you think that you have lived a godly enough life to give a good answer to the Lord? Right now would be the best time to think about that. And some have wondered why Hezekiah wept bitterly over this news, because some New Testament believers would be ready to go home and be with the Lord today if he gave the chance, you know, if possible. But we have to remember that Hezekiah was under the old covenant. And at that time, they weren't too clear on what happens after you die. It wasn't until Jesus came and revealed those kinds of things and brought them to light through the gospel. So again, there's another reason that we can be very thankful for living under this new covenant. We have a lot more assurance than they did about what happens after a person dies. We're going to see more about that in here, verse 4. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, so Hezekiah prayed. Now he's going to get an answer from the prophet. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a prophet that would show up and say, well, God heard your prayer and here's your answer. That would be nice. So there are some benefits to this, but sometimes maybe we don't want to know right away if it's that first response he had. But verse 5 now, the Lord said to Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. Now, almost as a side note, but did you notice that the Lord had to tell Isaiah to go back and give Hezekiah the answer to his prayer from the Lord? So I can just picture this. Isaiah comes at first and he says, hey, the Lord says you're going to die soon. And then Isaiah must have left, you know, after dropping that major news on him. But I guess, to be honest, trying to give Isaiah some leeway here, he probably delivered the message that God gave him for the king, and he didn't have anything else to say, so he walked away. I mean, what could you say after delivering that kind of news? And besides, I kind of picture Isaiah as being all about business, you know? You get the job done, and you move on. So we don't see a lot of compassion and things with him like that. Jeremiah is a whole lot different than that one, but Isaiah's pretty straight, all right? So after the Lord gave Isaiah the message, Isaiah must have turned on his heels and went back to the king, and this time he was able to deliver some good news. God was going to show him tremendous grace. And by the way, guys, have you thought about the tremendous grace that the Lord has shown to us when we prayed in faith to receive Jesus Christ, He didn't give us only 15 years. He gave us eternity. How could we ever begin to thank Him enough? And you know, too, you could be sure that if you are saved and you are God's child because of Jesus Christ, then God hears your prayers and He sees your tears, too. So if you're facing some hard time right now, or if you have shed tears for a lost loved one, just keep praying, because the Lord is listening and He cares about them, too. Now, some have asked, if the Lord told Hezekiah that he was going to die soon, then why didn't God follow through with that? Well, we know that, as some pointed out, when God announces a coming judgment, it's usually to give an opportunity for people to repent so that they can find mercy. So that would fit with what we see here. Verse 6, I will deliver you, the Lord is saying, and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. So this news let us know that this event in Hezekiah's life must have happened before the Lord sent the angel to destroy the troops that were outside the city walls of Jerusalem. So the Lord made a promise to deliver and to defend both the king and the city. What blessed promises Hezekiah received from the Lord. And the Lord was even going to give him a sign to reassure him that these things were true. Verse 7 here, he says, and this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which He has spoken. So the Lord had a very special sign that He was going to give, and it was going to be an undeniable sign that this thing must be from the Lord. But think about the sign the Lord has given to us. It was the cross on which Jesus hung. And we can look to that for proof that the penalty for our sins has been paid in full. And something that is even more of a tangible sign that we are given from the Lord is the Bible that you have in front of you. The Lord has given us His word of truth. Jesus said to the religious leaders at one point, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. So the evidence and the sign that came from God that we are blessed to be able to still have in our country is the word of God. Now, when God gives signs like this, they are given out of His love, because He didn't have to do that. In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So everything that God does for us is a sign of His love that He has for us. I thought it was great that we were singing about the love of the Lord this morning and how much love He has for us. Verse 8 goes on here, behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial. This is the sign He was talking about, which was gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. Very interesting. We come across this message today when we turned our clocks forward, huh? Maybe a reminder of what we're looking at today. But this was an astounding and an undeniable miraculous sign from the Lord. By doing this, this gave a little more time in the day as a sign that the Lord has the power to give more time at His own discretion, just like He decided to give Hezekiah more years to live. You know, we have no idea how God did this miraculous event, because according to science as we know it, it doesn't make sense. But this is a demonstration of the unknowable power and wisdom of God. His ways are beyond our understanding, and we just praise the Lord. Verse 9, this is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. So Hezekiah, thankfully, he documented his thoughts after the Lord had promised him such amazing mercy by extending his life for 15 years. And this is interesting that we get to see the very thoughts that he had to share after this miraculous healing occurred. You know, we enjoy hearing testimonies from things that the Lord has done for people, So here we have this personal testimony of exactly how he felt after the Lord took him through this trial. He even shares some thoughts about what was going through his mind before the Lord healed him there. So verse 10, I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. So his first thought, very natural thought here, it's over. I'm going to the grave in the very prime of my life. Verse 11, I said, I shall not see Yah, the Lord in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. So he felt bad that he wasn't going to see the Lord at work in his life on this earth any longer. And he was concerned that he would no longer be able to see his friends that were on the earth after he died. But he did not have the New Testament understanding that we have, that when a believer dies, we get to go and be with the Lord. The Old Testament understanding of life after death wasn't as clear. However, when Jesus came, those things were revealed to us and they were made much clearer. Look, for instance, at what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Boy, those are some reassuring words to those who have placed their faith in Christ. And again, they didn't have it that solid in the Old Testament to understand. They had to wait till Jesus came and revealed these amazing truths to us that we can rest upon. And unfortunately, we almost take for granted because we're so familiar with these things. Man, we praise the Lord, though. We praise him. So back in Isaiah 38, verse 12, Hezekiah is still speaking here. He says, my lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me. So these were his thoughts he had before he knew the Lord was going to answer his prayer. But through his answer to prayer, the Lord gave Hezekiah a new appreciation of life. You know, we can take life for granted, but all that changes when we think our life is going to be over soon. So Hezekiah was using these illustrations to express how quickly his life could be over. A shepherd's tent, he mentions, it could quickly be taken down. They traveled, so it had to be quick to move. And a weaver could quickly cut his cloth from the loom so he could do other work and get started on something else. He even expresses it by how quickly at the end of the day it turns to night. I don't know if you've noticed how quickly the dusk in the evening can turn into the darkness of night, but it happens very fast. That's how quickly he saw his life coming to an end. Now, in the New Testament, in James' epistle, he says this, for what is your life? It is even a vapor like the morning fog that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And that's what the Lord says our life is like. And, you know, guys, the older we get, we can see, wow, it's a passing vapor. We see that. And this is good, you know, for us to consider these things because our life could end very quickly as well. Only the Lord knows when that will be for each one of us. So it's something we should consider too and ask ourselves, are we ready to meet our Maker? Are we ready to stand before him free from sins? We only can do that if we have come to Jesus and believe that he died on the cross to pay for every one of our sins and then believe that God raised him from the dead. So yes, there are things we should all consider as we look at these things that are mentioned in our passage. So verse 13, I have considered until morning. Like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night, you make an end of me. So he was thinking throughout the night about how his life is going to come to an end. And I like the way someone described this as turning to God in our darkest hour. And he pictures the overwhelming power of God to be like a lion and as a beast that could break bones by his powerful jaws. as it tears apart its prey. And that last phrase, making him wonder from all his pain, from his illness, if the next moment will be his last. Verse 14, like a crane or a swallow, so I chattered. I mourned like a dove, talking about the sounds these birds make. My eyes fail from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. So like the constant chirping of these birds and the moaning sound that a dove makes, that's how constant his prayers have been and how he imagines they must have sounded to the Lord. And he acknowledged that this is more than he can handle. So he's asking God to hold him up. You know, it's like when you can't stand on your own and you need someone's help to hold you up and support your weight. That's what he's crying out to the Lord for. Verse 15, it goes on. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Now, he's humbly acknowledging that God has answered his prayers. The Lord promised to give him life, and he fulfilled that promise. So Hezekiah gratefully gives God all the glory and the credit for extending his life. And I believe that the Lord has extended all of our lives on this earth because we could have died at any moment before this day, that he has graciously so given us this day as well. So what is Hezekiah's response to this tremendous gift of life from God? He says that he's going to walk carefully, knowing in his heart that he is a sinner and he's still going to be living in a sinful world. You know, wow, what a message for us to strive to walk carefully before the Lord every day and to live according to his holy ways. Verse 16, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. He was talking about how people are alive because of the word of God. Now, Jesus said it this way, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Hezekiah experienced that in such a real way. The Lord had said he was going to die, but then in answer to his prayer, the Lord said he was going to be allowed to live longer on this earth. Without that word from the Lord, Hezekiah's life would have been over, and he knew that. Sometimes it takes a near-death experience for us to appreciate every day as a gift from the Lord, and every day as an opportunity to serve him more. Here we see Hezekiah's faith in what the Lord said to him. He believed that the Lord was going to restore him and make him live. He probably didn't have that, you know, he probably hadn't thought about that before, that every day he is alive, from that day forward, he is going to know that it is God who is keeping him alive throughout the day. So this makes me reconsider how to pray for those who are sick, to first thank God for the days he's already given them to live, and then ask how to give them more days, ask him to give them more days in the future so they can serve him. And we will see more about this in the next verse here, verse 17. Indeed, it was from my own peace that I had great bitterness. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. So the Lord was allowing him to work through his bitterness so he could eventually find peace. And you have to kind of read that verse a little backwards there to see that, where he said that I had great bitterness. Indeed, it was for my own peace, saying there was a purpose for him going through that. And this bitterness was what led Hezekiah to pray and crying out to the Lord. Now he sees how the Lord used this trial in his life. You know, we can learn from this too, that difficult situations and sometimes impossible situations need to be times that lead us to prayer. And if we trust the Lord as we go through these trials, we will have a testimony on the other side of them, just like Hezekiah is expressing here. And notice that Hezekiah recognized that God lovingly delivered his soul from the pit. It's important that we realize that God loves us as we go through these extremely hard times in our life. His love doesn't stop. He takes us through them because he loves us. and not because he's angry with us. In the Epistle of James, we're told, "My brethren, count it all joy when you face various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But let this endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So the Lord uses trials in our life to strengthen us. And that way, he can use us in more, even more in ministering to the lives of others. And I like how this verse 17 in our passage reads when it says, "For you have cast all my sins behind your back." It's a thought-provoking picture of how God took the sins away that were between us and God. And he took them completely out of the way, and he tossed them behind his back. So now we can come close to the Lord. And I think that Hezekiah realized that he was closer to the Lord now than he was before he went through this difficult trial. Now, there was an unfortunate thing that happened during those next 15 years that God gave to Hezekiah. During that time period, Hezekiah had a son that was born, and he ended up becoming the next king. But that son ended up being a very wicked king, and he brought in so much evil that he brought God's judgment upon the nation. So some people question whether or not Hezekiah did the right thing by wanting the Lord to spare his life. You know, that's an intriguing thought, but we'll probably have to wait until we get to glory to get the whole story on that one, at least in my thinking. Verse 18, he says, "For Sheol cannot thank you," and "death can't praise you, Lord." Death cannot praise you. That's what he says clearly there. "Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth." He was logically thinking that the dead can no longer praise God on earth, and any service that they wanted to do on earth for the Lord would come to an end and no longer be possible. So this reminds us that we have a precious opportunity while we are still alive to serve the Lord as much as we can. We are still able to worship him and to serve him when we get to heaven, but our service to him in this life can be such a precious gift to offer him right now. You know, I know that a few years ago when I was so sick in the hospital, I really thought it was the end, that I did ask the Lord for more time too, because I wanted to serve him more down here on earth. I just felt like I hadn't done enough for him yet, and I wanted to do more. The Lord was gracious to allow that to happen. And you know, being close to death really gives us clarity of thought and helps us see what is really important. Verse 19, the living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. So the living can praise God, and Hezekiah's new life is a living example of that, no pun intended. And another benefit of surviving his illness is to be able to pass on the lessons that he has learned to the following generations about the benefits and blessings of following the Lord. And he can share, too, about the power of God's truth. Verse 20, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." This is one of those verses that really jumps out to me. The Lord was ready to save me. What an awesome thought. Did you know that? On the day that you came to Christ, the Lord was ready to save you? I think he was waiting, wasn't he? And the Lord is always ready to save anyone who comes to him through Christ. And being able to sing songs to the Lord, as he mentions here, all the days of our life. Now, that's a taste of heaven right there, because that's what we'll be doing when we get to glory. And I noticed that he calls these songs my songs. I imagine these were some of his favorite songs that he liked to sing to the Lord. Do you have some favorite praise songs that you just love to sing to the Lord too? Hey, you're still alive and you can still do that too. Verse 21. "Now Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, excuse me, and he shall recover." So this tells us what happened as the whole message Isaiah gave him when he was saying the Lord was going to heal him. He had this addition that We're not told until the end. The Lord wants us to keep our focus on his healing. But to this point, he lets us know a really good thing here. So this is an explanation of how the Lord had Hezekiah's healing process take place. It was a combination of prayer, medicine, and God's miraculous work. So this is a good passage to remember because it lets us know that God is not against medicines because he created the things that the medicines came from. And the medicines that have been discovered by God's grace, they have been very helpful to so many people. So it's okay to take the medicine. Just be sure to pray and then praise the Lord when he brings you through your healing. Verse 22, and Hezekiah had said, "What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord?" As Hezekiah watched this boil on his body heal, it would be a sign that the Lord was doing the healing that he promised Hezekiah. And then when he was able to, Hezekiah's first task was to go to the temple and give thanks to the Lord. Now we're going to stop here today. There's more coming up here, but we'll stop at this point. Now, can I ask you a very important question? Did Jesus save you? Your answer will determine whether you're going to heaven or not. You see, Jesus already did all of the work that was necessary. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. He was buried, then he was raised from the dead. So you need to believe that he did that for you and ask Jesus to come into your heart. It's like there's a train going to heaven, and there's a seat on there reserved for you. But you have to make the choice to get on the train. Jesus is that train, and you need to trust in him to get you to heaven. Jesus said that no man can come to the Father except through him. Those are his words. Now let's pray, guys. Father, I thank you so much that we're able to come to you and we can pray based on the name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he had perfect righteousness. Father, thank you for your word of truth and these lessons that you show us from your word. As you cleanse us, Lord, by your word, as you strengthen our faith and help us to walk closer to you. Father, if any of us are here today and we have not paid attention, we have not walked close enough, help us, Lord, to heed what you tell us and to follow you. Lord, we know there's so many distractions in this world, so many things, even our enemy, the devil, is trying to take our attention away from you. Help us, Lord, to see past all of that, to keep our eyes on you, and to keep a song of praise for you in our heart. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for how you show us these things. Father, if anyone is listening to us through the coming days or weeks even, I pray you would open their heart to receive Christ if they don't know you yet. Help them, Lord, to be on Jesus there and have him take them all the way to heaven. We thank you, Father, and we praise you for these things. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.